Good morning. My name is Adelia Huang. I'm a hearings officer, and this is case number 3180083, and this is an appeal of a Bureau of Transportation decision. The appellant is Joseph Tribaum.
And I'm standing in for him.
Okay. And will I have the parties actually identify themselves and who they represent, starting with you, ma'am?
I'm Kelsey Brown with AJ Medical Transportation.
Please spell your first name.
K-E-L-S-E-Y.
Okay. And you, sir?
My name's Timothy Moore, representing the City of Portland Bureau of Transportation.
Thank you. Just one moment. So the name, Ms. Brown, I just want to confirm the name of the organization that you, as well as Mr. Tribaum, are representing is AJ Medical Transportation?
Correct.
Okay. And what is your title there?
Administrative officer.
Okay.
I guess.
And
I have a title.
Is Mr. Tribaum an owner?
He is the owner.
Okay.
Yeah, sole owner. He was just out of town for the new year.
No
so
worries.
So sent me.
Okay. So before we get started, we are going to go over some administrative things. And the first thing that I want to let you know is I want to tell you that my role as a hearings officer is to be a neutral decision maker. And I do not work for the bureau that issued this determination that we are discussing today. I work for the auditor's office, and one of my duties is to determine whether or not the decision that was made, and let me turn to that decision, whether or not that decision that was made by the Bureau of Transportation was correctly done or made in accordance with relevant laws and rules. Now, if the decision was made in accordance with relevant laws and rules, then I have no discretion. I have to find that the decision is valid. Mm-hmm. If there's evidence that it was not, if the facts don't support the decision that was made, then I will find that the decision is invalid, and it'll be stricken as a, it will be determined to be invalid, or reversed.
Okay.
So, with that being the case, I need to confirm some other information with you. And one thing that I need to do is figure out what documents are going to be in the record, which means any documents in the record or evidence in the record can be considered when making a decision. And so I've got quite a few documents here. And when you entered into the room, there should have been a sheet with a blue bar that has, okay, well, I have a look from the clerk. And she is actually going to be handing that to you now, and it's called an exhibit list.
Thank you.
Everything that's listed on this exhibit sheet is what I have in my file, and evidence that is relevant will be admitted into the record. Can you tell me, did Mr. Tribaum or you or your organization receive copies of information that the city submitted for this hearing?
Correct, yes.
Okay. And so if you look at the exhibit sheet with me, Mr. Moore submitted exhibits 12 through 19. Do you recall getting those documents specifically from Mr. Moore before the hearing?
So we actually received the photographs that it's talking about right here. I don't have them on me. Joseph has them at his office. We all actually work from home. They were not even for AJ Medical Transportation.
Okay. And are you only talking about the photographs, or are you talking about?
There was another form. I'm not sure which one it was, but it didn't have, it had a different company name on it.
Okay.
And I should have grabbed those. I didn't know he was going out of town.
No worries. And Mr. Moore, what's your position on those specific exhibits?
I would happily strike those from the records. That was a mistake in documentation. So 13 through 13B and 15, I would request to be stricken from the record. Again, this was a mix-up in the preparation, and I apologize
okay.
for that.
So let me just, since Ms. Brown, you did not bring this with you, and it's no problem, I just want to confirm what I'm removing from the record, since it sounds like you're both of the same opinion.
And Mr. Moore? I'm just getting a chance to read through this. I would also say 17 is also not pertinent, has nothing to do with this case, and 18, actually. So 13 through 13B, 15, 17, and 18.
Okay. So exhibits 13, 13A, and 13B, Ms. Brown, are a copy of photographs And since both of you agreed that they're not relevant, I'm going to remove them from the record. Let's see. 14 also talks about MMG Medical.
Let's strike that as well.
15 talks about a Ford Crown Victoria.
Right, which would be stricken as well.
Okay. 15, and then 16. 16 is a UPS tracking form.
And I do not know if that is pertinent. For the purpose of my testimony, it's not pertinent.
Okay, we'll strike that as well, 16. And then we've got the Eric England email.
Also not pertinent.
Okay, and that's in regard to MMG Medical.
Correct.
18, is this city code pertinent to vehicle certification requirements?
We can strike that as well.
Okay. Which leaves us with a civil penalty table, Exhibit 19. Do you need a copy of that for reference for today's hearing, Ms. Brown?
I've never even seen it. I've seen the top list just because that's when he opened the letter, or what we just striked out. But no, I'm sure if he has it, then
okay.
He'll know
it
what
is city code. It's just, it looks like it's a copy of that particular civil penalty table, which city code says that certain amounts of the civil penalty.
Oh, okay. We're good.
Okay.
We're good then.
And so are there any documents that either party wishes to admit into the record at this point? Granted, they should have already been admitted, but given the mix-up, I'm inclined to hear if you, Mr. Moore, do wish to submit additional information.
Well, I would request of the appellant and Ms. Huang to submit an email from Christy Keller regarding the permitting date of...
That was already submitted. I submitted that, yeah.
Okay, perfect. Then...
Is that it?
If this is in the record, then I have nothing additional to add.
Okay. And so, Ms. Brown, I do see that, let's see, there are copies of the penalty notice, but it seems to be cut off. Looks like it's weird. It's certain parts are cut off and it's spread among certain pages. So do either of you have a copy of that actual penalty notice?
Because
I would like to have the actual, all the text into
the
record.
This is the email also, which I believe was also copied a little bit. It looked like maybe a photo of it. I'm not sure, but...
Yes, and I do see that your organization did submit a copy of the December 5th Christy Keller email. I'm not sure if parts are cut off, but if you're okay, Ms. Brown, would we be able to make additional copies?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, just as long as the letter says the same thing.
Okay. Yeah. Well, do you want to just take a brief look of what he's submitting to make sure you're on board with that?
Yeah, which I have. I can just double check.
And you can be of the position that you do not agree with this, and I would entertain any objections, but it's up to you whether or not.
I have already submitted it, so I'm not going to object. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's the exact same text.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And just one moment while we get that copied, because it's important for me to see those before I go any further. Yes, please. Okay, we're back on the record. Now that we've gotten that all sorted out, what I'm going to do is admit exhibits 1 through 12, 19 through 21. And that should exclude all the irrelevant evidence while including more clear copies of the determination letter as well as the email from Christy Keller to AJ Medical Transportation. So what I'm going to be focused on is this, November 15th, 27 determination that PBOT issued stating that they were penalizing AJ Medical Transportation in a civil penalty in the amount of $1,000 for a violation of City Code 1647-70, and that is a violation of the non-emergency medical transportation driver certification provisions. And so when I take the testimony from either party, I want you to address the validity of this particular decision, and that's what we are limited to deciding, whether or not this particular decision was done in accordance with laws and rules. Now, what we are going to do is it's going to be like a mini trial. It's going to be less formal than what you would see in a full-blown case at the Multnomah County Circuit Court. But one side will start first and tell me their testimony, tell me why they believe this document should be found valid or invalid and what reasons. After that person is done testifying, the other party will have the chance to ask questions. That would be considered a cross-examination period. And if you do have questions for the other side, please limit it to one question at a time. After that, the other side will have the opportunity to present their case, and then the roles will flip where the other party will have the chance to ask questions. Now, during the entire proceeding, I do have the chance to ask questions as hearings officer, and may have some, may not have some. But generally, that's how we're going to proceed. And if you want to talk about documents, if at all, if you could talk about certain exhibits, which should be marked with exhibit numbers, except for the ones that were just admitted, that'd be great. Or at least give me the title of the document you're referring to. Now, Ms. Brown, since your organization is the appellant, you have the chance to tell me whether or not you'd like to proceed first with the presentation of your case, or if you'd like for the city to go first. What would you like to do?
The city.
Okay, no worries. And so one thing that I can offer is the chance to give an opening statement. However, in general, with cases like this, where the issues are not very complex, testimony that you provide usually speaks for itself. But if you would like to provide a brief opening statement which summarizes what you intend to demonstrate today with your evidence, that's fine. What would you like to do?
No, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Moore.
I have no opening statement.
Okay, then we will get started. I will place you under oath. Mr. Moore, please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give shall be the truth?
I do.
Thank you very much. Go ahead.
All right, on November 2nd, 2017, at approximately 11:55, a routine field inspection was conducted at Legacy Emmanuel Hospital with driver Josie Connolly, who was at the time affiliated with AJ Medical Transportation and operating an AJ Medical Transportation vehicle with permit number L010049. At the time of the inspection, they, when prompted to provide a city-issued permit, the driver explained that she had not been permitted and she was unaware of the permitting process. And as the code in the letter to the appellant, the notice of penalty, reads, the section of code says, and this is an excerpt from that section of code, 16.40.770A, says drivers shall be certified and permitted by the director and affiliated with a permitted NEMT company prior to operating an NEMT vehicle. And as you can see in the email, Josie Connolly was permitted as a driver for the appellant's company on December 5th, 2017, so approximately a month after the citation. So that's all I have.
Okay. Ms. Brown, do you have any questions for Mr. Moore?
Yeah, actually, since you're here. when it says they have to be permitted in Portland, that's only part of the Portland Multnomah County?
No, so the city of Portland city limits go into the Tri-County area.
Okay.
So there are portions of the city. While most of the city is located within Multnomah County, there are portions, strange corners of the city that are located within extra counties.
Okay. That's all I have.
Okay. And I don't have any questions for you at this time, Mr. Moore, so we are going to turn to you, Ms. Brown. Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give shall be the truth?
You do.
Thank you. All righty. Please tell me why the appellant is disputing this decision that was made.
We are disputing this decision due to how our company runs. We have drivers throughout the Tri-County area, all the way from Vancouver to Salem. And past the Tri-County area as well. We do keep our drivers in their respected areas. Washington County stays in Washington County. This, unfortunately, was just one case. We needed to get a sick member back to their home. Unfortunately, it was wrong, and the driver did get caught, which was us, and we wanted to make sure that all of our driver or members were able to get home on time and didn't have to sit there and wait for 5 hours, unfortunately. And as of the email that I sent in to Christy, showing the date that I sent it in, it wasn't a coincidence that all of a sudden we got a call from her saying she got ticketed, that I sent it in the exact same day. I just was filling out all of the paperwork all at once for multiple drivers and sent it in coincidentally on the same day.
Okay, the email that you sent to Ms. Keller?
On November 2nd.
Okay.
And it shows the images of multiple documents that I sent in to her.
Let me see if I can try to find that.
I believe it's Exhibit 4.
Okay, thank you. And when you say it was a coincidence, I guess I'm just trying to connect the dots, like, what's the relevance?
I was just studying in that even though she got the ticket on the exact same day, from what I remember all of this going on, it wasn't that we got a phone call and all of a sudden I needed to turn them in. It was just being done on the exact same day, unfortunately.
I see. Okay. Anything else?
I think that's it.
And Mr. Moore, do you have any questions for Ms. Brown?
I do not.
Okay. Let me see if I have any questions. Just one moment, please. I just want to verify some of the information that your organization submitted, Ms. Brown. So I see a document, what's been marked as Exhibit 3. Can you tell me what this is? It says AJ Medical Transportation. It's a form.
That's the form submitted to the City of Portland, to Christy Keller, for the drivers to get their permits.
Okay.
That's what we have to send in. It used to be a completely different way of getting all the drivers permitted. They would go in, and now things are now, the company has to do it. They have to be permitted with the company as well, instead of just by themselves.
Okay. I don't believe I have any questions other than that. So now would be the time for any closing statements, a summary of anything you'd like to emphasize before I make my decision.
This was just a one-time case. We wanted to make sure a sick elderly person was able to get home. We do our best to make sure our drivers stay in their respected counties until they are permitted. It was a mistake on our end. But again, we were just trying to help this guy out.
Okay, and Mr. Moore?
I have nothing further.
All right. Just one moment here. Okay, based upon the information that I've heard today and the information in the record, I am going to sustain the violation that was issued by the Bureau of Transportation to AJ Medical Transportation on November 15, 2017. Ms. Brown, I find your testimony credible regarding the circumstances. However, unfortunately, even a one-time violation does give the Bureau of Transportation the authorization to issue a violation notice such as this.
Understand.
Additionally, it does appear that this type of violation does require a $1,000 penalty for a first-time violation, and so that is not discretionary, unfortunately, for you. And I am going to find that the exhibit number 21, the notice that was issued to the appellant, is valid. So if either party wishes to challenge my decision, they can do so in a Multnomah County Circuit Court, and I will have a decision put out in the mail in the next couple of weeks. explaining the basis for my findings. Any questions?
Go ahead.
I have no questions.
Okay. With that being the case, I'm closing the record. Thank you very much for taking the time to be here.
Thank you.